Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
We've hit the final hour of Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Jay will be back soon enough, celebrating the birth of his second child last week. Bart Scott is in the house. We're going wall-to-wall football. Draft is 2 weeks from tonight. Diana Russini joined us on Monday, the NFL Insider, and she said, look for the Browns and Clowney to make a deal, and boom, it's official. That's four teams in 4 years for Jadeveon Clowney. Last year, he played for the Tennessee Titans. And speaking of the Titans, we are joined in just moments by a Titans legend. You know, when they put the video board up at Nissan Stadium, Key, you know they do this for all the former players coming back. The crowd just gives a gigantic pop when they see Eddie George, the 1995 Heisman Trophy winner, out there. He starred for the Titans in Nashville. He's now the head football coach at Tennessee State, which is an HBCU, historically black college university, at the FCS level, also located in Nashville. And that's where he's going to begin his coaching career. It kind of came out of the blue, I'll be honest with you. I'm not as plugged in as you are. It kind of came out of nowhere.
He was on Broadway a little bit, man. Yeah, he was doing a lot of acting. He's multi-talented. You know, he's into a lot of stuff, man. He's always in shape.
Right.
You know, so if you want to face up somebody, I wonder if he's going to be the first one off the bus to scare the other team, man. Just come out with a G-unit tank top on.
Eddie's big.
Yeah, and I'll be interested to see how it all came together. When we get him on the line, I want to ask that, and it looks like we have him. Ready to go. It's the Heisman Trophy winner. It's the Titans legend. And now, the latest thing on the old resume and business card, he's the head coach at Tennessee State. He is Eddie George, and he joins us this morning, again, on the Goodyear Hotline. Eddie, we were just kind of mentioning, I mean, you know, every football story in the world is leaked, right? We know everything 24 to 48 hours before it's going to happen, but there really wasn't a lot of chatter about this. I think a lot of people were very intrigued and excited by this hire. Can you tell us how this all came together for you here?
Yeah, about some time ago, without putting any dates on it or anything of that nature, I was presented with an opportunity from President Glover and Dr. Allen to become the head coach at Tennessee State University. And how it all came to be, I was already doing business with Dr. Glover and the AKA Foundation in terms of my wealth management business. So she calls me one day, says, hey, or actually she texts me, she says, hey, I got something to talk to you about. And immediately I'm thinking, okay, something may be wrong with the account, whatever it is. And, you know, looked at it, make sure everything was cool, clear the air. And she says, well, it has something to do with other business. So I'm thinking, okay, she will probably ask for some money for her fundraising because she's also the president of Tennessee State. Or she might be wanting to add more money to my account. Well, I don't know what it is. So I called her, and she said, well, I have an interesting proposition I want to talk to you about. I said, okay, shoot. She said, I want you to be the next head coach for Tennessee State University. And there was a long, deafening pause. You know, I was like, I wasn't expecting that. And before I said, hell no, I said, let me think about this for a moment and really come at it in the ways I want to continue this business relationship. I said, you know, I'm really floored. I'm honored that you would look at me in this capacity. But let me think about it. Let me talk to my wife and kind of just sleep on a little bit with really no intentions on going any further than that. So that was after a couple of weeks. I came back. We had a 3-hour meeting. I said, well, how serious are you? I asked a series of questions. What are your goals in terms of where do you see this going 5 years from now? I'm not interested in a spike. I'm not interested in coming on for a marketing ploy for a couple of years. I don't have time for that. You know, this what you have, what you're trying to do requires surgery. It has to be built inside out. So we kind of went back and forth on that, and I did my due diligence. I reached out to various coaches around the league, got their perspective, talked about the opportunity. I talked to so many different people, but the one guy that I respected is Jeff Fisher. I told Jeff about it. I'm thinking he's going to, say, Eddie, just leave that alone. That's not worth your time. But instead, he says, yo, this is a great opportunity for you. You know, this is perfect for you. You're in the city. You can do this. You can do that. You have the ability to really impact lives. I mean, you've been a mentor. You've been doing so many different things. And so then at that point, I started to look at my entire world, all the things that I've done, all the things that I am doing, and began to think, is this possible? And I ran about my family, and my wife was like, hey, you know what? why not do it? You know, so that's how I got on this track. At the beginning, it was a zero, and by the end, clearly, I made my mind up to do it.
After talking to Jeff, congrats anyway, Eddie. You know I'm gonna be there as soon as this thing opens.
Oh,
up,
you know, hey, Keyshawn, I'm getting you a TSU. Put that USC crap away. You're wearing this blue now.
Oh, you know that for sure. I don't know about USC going away, but I'm definitely gonna be rocking the Tennessee State for sure. Hey, after you talked to Jeff and y'all sat down and had conversations, and he made the decision and you made the decision for him to join your staff. How important is it to get somebody like Jeff Fisher with experience for a first-time head coach to be a part of what you're going to do at Tennessee State?
Yeah, Keyshawn, I mean, listen, I don't know what I don't know. And coaching, that world is a completely different business. So it behooves me to bring in people, good counsel, wise counsel that has been there, done that on all levels that surrounds me to help me make certain decisions, to show me where the blind spots are, show me where those opportunities are. I mean, Jeff is a master in terms of organization, how you schedule, the things that you need to do and look out for your team in between practices, recovery, all the things that we took for granted as players that said, okay, we show up here, we do this, we do a walkthrough, we rest, all those things you got to plan out and think about. And he's been masterful in doing that. I mean, we've had several conversations about personnel, about my administrative counsel or my team, having a chief of staff, how his role, what he does, a director of football operations, your recruiting coordinator, all of these things that people don't see on the football field. 90% of this stuff for a head coach is away from it. You're wearing a lot of different hats, and those are the things that I'm learning, and that's what he's been instrumental in helping me with. So having his experience, his guidance, his input, I make the ultimate decision, but having it laid out, you know, bringing the right people in the room is very, very important for this process to work. So he's been great with working with him in this capacity.
Mm. Hey, congrats, Eddie, Bart Scott. Thanks,
Bart.
I want to ask you what the importance of like NFL legends coming back to coach HBCUs are, and how the impact that guys like yourself and Deion can do to the credibility of the organization or the universities, but also the resources in which you can help get the resources to, you know, programs like yourself.
Bart, I mean, that's a great question, man, because it really shows, it brings a light to the university in terms of everybody is looking at Tennessee State, everybody's looking at Jackson State, and now we're getting so many people donating. Ticket sales have gone up. People are giving back to university because they wanted to see be a success. And really, you know, given with our relationships with companies like Under Armour, Adidas, Jordan Brand, you know, we're seeking those opportunities to create those relationships to build out a better, robust system for our student athletes so they can go to class. They have the best technology. They have the best apparel. You know, some of these kids, you know, have never been given a shirt before of great quality. And that's what we want to be able to provide for them. So all of our resources, all the things that I've done in my career from acting and entertainment to teaching at Ohio State, the business school of Fisher, to my wealth management business, financial literacy, and also the wars that I've had on the field and off the field, things to look out for. I'm truly preparing these kids for life. And really, you know, from a mental health perspective, that's where I really want to help these kids in terms of how do you leverage your career into something bigger, better, and greater after your playing days are done.
Man, all I could do is say congratulations. I cannot wait to see you take the field, run out of there, run out the tunnel with your hat on and your whistle around your neck, because it sure will be a joy to watch. And, again, you know I'm coming, so you don't have to worry about that.
Okay, brother. Well, hey, Key, definitely, man. Love to see you guys. Bart, you're also more than welcome. If you want to come and hype up my linebackers, man, please come through. Your knowledge is always welcome, dog.
Great stuff, and it's the timing of the job, too. I mean, they're playing games right now, Tennessee State, because of the way the FCS season was pushed back, so Eddie's going to get a chance to get rolling with this roster right away as the guys are now in playing shape and out there. Eddie, best of luck, man. We'll talk again.
Thanks a lot, guys.
All right, bud.
And that's an interesting point I just wanted to bring out. A lot of people don't realize, I mean, you know, Deion's coaching right now because a lot of these HBCUs and FCS schools had their season delayed in 2020, yeah. So here you go, getting an opportunity to see them. Best of luck to Eddie George.
I was going to tell Eddie, man, 4 or 5 years from now, you're going to be gray, but I forgot he ain't got no hair.
Exactly. Yeah,
he's a good-looking guy. I mean, he's a good-looking guy.
You know, coaching, boy, you got to really want to do that.
Stressed out.
You know, coaching? God.
Well, fortunately, Fisher's got a good mane. Jeff Fisher's always, and he's got the stash, so Jeff Fisher's got the facial hair.
It's going to be fun. I'm glad to see it, though.
But coaching's a lot easier since you retired.
You want to respond to that?
I'm not. This dude got a job because of his father. I'm not even listening to Evan.
Wait, are you saying there's nepotism in the media?
Evan's our producer solely based on his dad being in the media for a long time, got him the interview, so therefore they didn't want to disappoint the dad. None of this is true. All of it's true.
Maybe one day, it's possibly Barry Wilner wrote a piece that said,
slander.
"By Barry
I'm
Wilner,
suing slander."
Associated Press, Dateline, Staten Island, New York, because he wrote here in the tri-state area. Speaking of Staten Island, Jimmy's in Staten Island. What do you got this morning, Jimmy? Hey,
Jimmy.
Hey, can you hear me?
What's up, man? Jimmy? Yeah, we got
hey,
you.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yo.
Oh, what's going on, fellas? Good morning. Keyshawn, first things first, I want to say I love you, brother.
Appreciate
for your loss. It's always a blessing to hear you. Uncle Bart, love you. I also want to just say that you guys need to ban Tim Legler from the show. And I say that because this guy, he mentioned Joel Embiid, but he didn't mention Nikola Jokic, the Joker.
26,
hands down,
10 and 8.
MVP. He's hands.
Oh, man, we lost you, dog.
But I'm totally on board. Jokic just played incredible basketball this year.
Incredible basketball. 26, 10, and 8. I mean, you have to put him into consideration. And I think James Harden would have ran away with it if he would have continued to stay healthy. And LeBron as well if he would have stayed healthy. But, you know, you can't deny that Joel Embiid, I think what we see him move from being the most improved player in the NBA to being one of the most dominant and the best. I mean, because, like, you watch Jeff Green trying to check him. He pushed him in the back like he's like a little boy. And even if you look at DeAndre Jordan, we used to DeAndre Jordan being the enforcer. Yeah. He ain't want none of that smoke.
Well, here's the other thing I would quickly say about Jokic. We got a bunch of calls here on an NFL topic, which I'll get to in a second. There was some serious debate a few years ago. This just sounds ridiculous, but, like, who's better, Jokic or Porzingis? That was a real story a few years ago. I mean, obviously, at this point, Jokic is lights out better, and he is healthy. That's a big thing. The biggest stars in the NBA aren't. The biggest stars in the NFL, among them certainly, is Josh Allen. We're asking this morning on the Twitter feed. You can call us at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Simply asking, who's the Josh Allen of 2021? Essentially, who's the guy that's just going to break out in 2021 the way Josh Allen did and got MVP consideration last season? Who is it? EDuff56 is going with Danny Dimes. That's Bart's choice. At Slacko_Mitch is going with Sam Darnold. That's Key's choice. At Brent Mefford says Kyler Murray. Frank Green Jr. at Frank Green Jr. going with Justin Herbert. At Chris Roney Jr. going simply Tua. Let us know what you think. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Who is the next Josh Allen? Andrew in New York, you're on ESPN Radio. What's up?
Hey, guys. Pleasure to be on the show. Good morning. Hey,
what's morning. Up, man?
First of all, it's a real honor to be speaking to Keyshawn and Bart. I'm a big, big Jets fan. And also shout out to my boy, Berms. He's a big fan of you guys also. But I want to talk about the draft that's coming up. There's been a lot of speculation about that number 2 overall pick, you know, Zach Wilson, the presumable pick. Also, Justin Fields, who as a Jets fan, I would be very, very happy if they picked. Either way, we're probably going to find a way to mess it up. But I don't feel like enough people talk about that number 23 pick, which is really key. And most mocks have a cornerback going there. And then maybe at 34, an offensive lineman or a running back or an edge. But I feel like if we do that and we pick that cornerback, even though this class is deep with, you know, Farley and Horn and a lot of really good guys that could be there at 23, we could fall into the same thing that happened with Sam Darnold in there not being any talent around him on offense. So I think that the Jets are much better off going like a Vera Tucker or an interior offensive lineman at 23, and then at 34 going for, you know, a running back, a Travis Etienne, somebody like that who can help set up Zach Wilson for the future. And the Jets only have, you know, Bryce Hall and Bless Austin, I think, is their starting quarters. So they would have to go out into free agency, but there's still guys like Richard Sherman out there. So I feel like there's more value, and you set up Zach Wilson for more success if you have him, you know, if you draft in the early rounds offense to help him out. I want to know what you guys think about that.
That's one of the best calls we've had in a while.
Well, I think at 23.
Well, very informed.
Yeah.
At 23, for me, I'm looking for the most explosive, dynamic playmaker on the offensive side of the ball at 23 that can help my young quarterback, whether that's a running back. I got to find somebody, because in the 30s, I can always get an offensive lineman to shore up the line that's solid and sound. I need playmakers around a quarterback.
Well, they think that they got it, right, because they do the analytics on what Herndon did in the second half of the season, you know, put his numbers up there against the top, you know, pass-catching tight ends. They went out and got Corey Davis, and I think that Mims are going to be good. I think that Joe Douglas may still have a trick up his sleeve, and I think, you know, you got to go get protection around whoever's going to be behind center. And I think you'll maybe with that second 34th overall pick, you either, one, use it to move back into the first round with the pair with the Sam Darnold pick that you got from Carolina, or you use that to go get a guy like Orlando Brown Jr., and now you have two of the best tackles in the game when you pair him with Becton.
Sam in El Paso, Texas. Who's the next Josh Allen? Good morning, Sam.
It's
a delay.
This is like an early version of Caller Roulette that's going terribly wrong. All right, Sam in El Paso, Texas. What you got? Who's the next Josh Allen? How about AJ in Ohio? Who's the next Josh Allen? Please be there.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Hey, thanks for being here.
I love the show. I love the conversation you guys are bringing, and you're getting lots of love from everyone across the country, so thanks for it. But I got to go with my Ohio homer boy, Joey Burrow. He showed flashes of excellence last year. He's going to have a full offseason to get more in tune with his weapons. And to be honest with you, you know, everyone's saying Sewell is the safe pick, but I'm thinking the Bengals are going to go chase, get another weapon for him.
Oh, reunite him. Reunite him with Joe Burrow.
Yeah, I'd go the offensive line. They need to protect him. Their offensive line is brutal. They've got to protect him. Penei Sewell's sitting right there. You take him. You can always get another receiver down the line. They drafted T. Higgins a year ago in the second round. Learn from that. Yeah. I think when you think about it, Zach Taylor has to be smart enough to know in order for him to keep his job, that quarterback has to excel. In order for that quarterback to excel, he needs to be upright.
Yeah, you can get great players and great value at the wide receiver position. I think the wide receiver position is going to start being the deepest position every year in the draft. It used to be the running back position, but now because teams throw the ball so much in college, receivers are ready to play. You can get a guy like Bateman in the second round from Minnesota, who I think is a show enough stud, but you got to protect Joe Burrow.
There's no doubt about it. But that's a good pick. That's a good value pick. But as Key said, I mean, what happened to Joe Burrow last year? He got crunched because he absolutely had no protection, was out for the year. To the caller's point, to AJ's point, he was setting rookie records first few weeks of the season. But if you don't have somebody like Sewell protecting you, right? What are you going to do?
Not going to work.
Right? It's flat out right there in front of him. A reminder, tune into a National League battle Saturday as the Cubs host the Braves. The Cubs cannot hit. Hit. Coverage begins at 1:45 Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. We'll see if they can snap out of it against the Braves, who are also off to an unexpected slow start. On the way, when Baylor won the championship on that Monday night in Indianapolis, Jim Nance called it the best rebound and best redemption in college basketball history. And now we have another reason to love this Bears team even more. Wait till you hear this. It's next on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Let's go to the phones, though. Big question this morning. Who's going to be Josh Allen of 2021? In other words, who's the breakout quarterback in 2021, the way Josh Allen broke out and was an MVP consideration in 2020? Scott's in North Carolina. You're on ESPN Radio. Who is the Josh Allen of this fall?
Well, I don't know if this falls into the category you guys were asking, because he already had one good year, but it was a long time ago. Mm-hmm. So I'm going with Carson Wentz. Not a long time ago, a few years ago. I think Carson Wentz being back with Frank Reich and that team that the Colts have, I think people are going to be surprised. And I think Philly fans are going to be like, what the hell were you doing letting them go?
Back in 2016. Can you talk about that?
I would say he would fall into that category because he only had the one year where he really was just so exceptional, where MVP conversations for a young guy was there. Getting back with Frank Reich, retooling his career, getting back on track is a plus. I mean, that's a big thing. Philly fans might be disappointed because Indianapolis is poised to do something in that division.
I mean, that's comeback player of the year, but I'm talking about somebody young that's yet to ascend and get the national spotlight. And I think when you think about that, as guys that's taking the next step from just being a guy to superstardom and living up to the potential. Kyler Murray is good with it, but I think Danny Dimes, man, is poised. And you know if Danny Dimes is half as good as the other ones that's been mentioned, the New York media choo-choo train is going to pump that up to another level.
I remember I grew up in this area. I remember when Chad Pennington just had like one good game. Right. Next, Joe Namath. It's like one game. Like settle down. Like, bro,
pump your brakes. I mean, they damn
it's
had
New
a parade.
York, man. I know. You know, y'all go crazy over anything.
That is true. So Wentz, once again, burst onto the scene in 2016, and then what Scott and Talk was talking about, North Carolina, that 2017 year, which ended, of course, with him getting hurt towards the end of the season. Can he make it up 4 years later? Let's find out. Again, today is a day to honor one of the greatest barrier breakers in all of sports. You know, Bud Selig gets a lot of criticism, but Bud is actually the first voice you heard there praising Jackie Robinson today. Jackie Robinson today and tomorrow, as I mentioned. So all 30 teams can take part. There's a dozen games today. And for everybody that doesn't play, can get out there tomorrow. So coast to coast, American National League, everybody can celebrate Jackie Robinson. For more perspective on what Jackie Robinson means to this game moving forward and what he's meant, we bring in ESPN Major League Baseball analyst Doug Glanville. He joins us on the Goodyear Hotline. Doug, before you join, I just mentioned, you know, Jackie Robinson's career ended in 1956. There's not a lot of people whose career ended in the 50s that we still talk about in their respective sports and what they have meant. So that said, what is his lasting legacy on this ever-changing game, a very diverse game? Every year it gets more and more diverse. What's his lasting legacy on baseball, even though he retired more than a half century ago?
Hey, Zoo, how you doing? How's everybody? You know, look, there's no question that his lasting legacy in baseball is that it's been beyond baseball. And, you know, Jackie Robinson knew very quickly that the door he was opening was well beyond the sports realm, and that he was not going to stick to sports because he couldn't stick to sports. He was the voice and ultimately the empowerment for people to see equality in each other and to actually turn it into something that's not just a tenet, but actually a way of life. And so many firsts came from his inspiration. And the challenge is when you're a pioneer, you are, you know, de facto first, often you're also alone. And the fact that he opened that door in a way that let others in, that they knew anything was really possible. I mean, he got called from the Little Rock Nine when they pioneered in integrating schools, and everybody looked to him. Martin Luther King was early in college when Jackie Robinson broke in. So his legacy is seen everywhere, not just in the United States, but internationally. I mean, when he broke in 1947, they trained in Havana, Cuba during spring training after Florida's nightmare experience with all the racism that he went through in 1946. So ultimately, 1947 made him an international figure. So whether you were anyone who had brown skin, Panamanians who became his fans, all realized that this was big beyond baseball.
Doug, is baseball as a whole, not just Major League Baseball, the sport as a whole, doing enough to honor Jackie Robinson?
Well, they certainly are trying to shift the effort to be beyond sort of the symbolism, right, the performative side of it. You know, we know whether the, you know, a lot of controversy clearly around the All-Star game move, but they're trying to at least recognize that Jackie Robinson, this is the game that brought this to life, and that they need to back up a lot of what he symbolized, not just because of, okay, here's a color and things are changing, but it was transformative for our nation. I mean, Jackie Robinson effectively integrated the first major American institution before the United States military. So they're trying to recognize that Jackie Robinson not only was this figure that sort of bit his tongue for a little while, he then transformed into who he really was, and that was someone who was an activist. He lobbied, he wrote letters, he debated Malcolm X and Martin Luther King. He was on the streets, he opened a black bank, he was a columnist, he was an executive. I mean, this man was first in everything. And Major League Baseball kind of had been selective about choosing the most palatable version of Jackie Robinson so that everybody was, quote, comfortable. But in the end, he was on the streets, I mean, literally, and never stopped. And so that's the other Jackie Robinson that if the game embraces more of, and I think they're trying to do more of that, that you really get the complete picture of what it means to make change.
Doug Glanville, ESPN baseball analyst, joining us this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zoom. And let me ask you something, Doug. Growing up for me in Los Angeles and seeing some of, and I played baseball as a youth, and seeing some of the great baseball legends that came out of L.A., whether it was Daryl Thomas, whether it was Chili Davis or Eddie Murray or Daryl Strawberry or Eric Davis or Chris Brown, some of those guys, how can we get the youth, the African-Americans, more involved in baseball now, because there's a lack thereof in Major League Baseball, but we need to start at the younger level. How can we do that?
Well, you know, that's always been a real complex issue, because there's no simple, direct, elegant answer about, you know, the sort of decline in black participation when you think about African American. And one thing I really am encouraged by is the Players Alliance, which was formed by players and now has emeritus players, black players who came together in the wake of George Floyd's killing and said, hey, we need a support group here. You know, there's not a lot of us. We need to talk. And he kind of grew that. And they're bringing in high school kids. They're trying to help right on the ground in these communities. That is a great way to really connect. And because a lot of the issues with baseball is you need a certain level of resources. You need real estate. You need all this support system. And when you have flight from the cities, and where most cities have this black and brown population, and there's this divestment, there's a stripping of resources from those communities, baseball tends to follow, and then you end up a suburban phenomenon. And that's where the resources are. So outside of what that means with respect to race in our country. So that is, you know, many things that they have to address to try to rein that in. But I do like that there are certain programs, and I think Major League Baseball has had some programs that have shown some promise, but it's a sustained effort, and that's what's been the hard part.
With Jackie Robinson being the symbol of equality, the humanity, and the humility in which he went about his business, but also being the spark of the civil rights movement, is Jackie Robinson the most important sports figure ever in history?
I mean, he's right up there. If he's not one, he's like 1A. I mean, I can't, off the top of my head, I can't think of anyone else that kind of had that kind of impact, because you know, he came in at 28, or he was older, and he still had a nine-year stretch, was one of the greatest nine-year stretches in terms of value of any player in history. That's saying one thing. I mean, when I was 32, I felt like my hamstrings were falling off my body, and this guy was phenomenal, maybe had his best year. So, you know, he was a great, great baseball player. Just start there. But he also was a great player under the circumstances of hostility, racism, being a pioneer, alone, all these things that he had to deal with, and fortunately had a phenomenal family support system. So that's part of what also makes his accomplishment incredible. And then he didn't stop there. I mean, he was not only on the streets, he is international. He put the foot on the accelerator on everything, even to his last breath when he spoke in Cincinnati in the 1972 World Series. He said, I want to see a black face in that coach's box. We're not done yet. So there's no question that, you know, his impact was the antithesis of this whole stick to sports, which, by the way, if in the Black community, you didn't have a voice unless you had certain platforms like figures like Jackie Robinson or the clergy. I mean, you didn't have a voice. So how else were you going to engage these conversations? You weren't legislators, mostly. You weren't in these rooms. So Robinson took that on in full tilt, even at his own detriment. And I think that's what makes him so consequential.
I think it's so well said, and I just want to mention, you know, after those comments were made by Jackie Robinson, not too far after that, Frank Robinson did become an African-American manager. And just from a historical perspective, Jackie Robinson deserves every bit of praise that you say, but I think it's also very important today to mention the name of Larry Doby. And for a lot of people that follow baseball history and understand the integration of baseball, he isn't talked about sometimes the way Jackie Robinson is, but I just want to give him his full due today on Jackie's big day today and tomorrow. Some unbelievable perspective, as always, from Doug Glanville. Doug, thank you so much for joining us.
All right, Z. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
You got it. And he, I mean, Doug's right. It's like a company of one. Maybe Jesse Owens for what he did at the Olympics, or Germany and the World War. I mean, that's the level of person you're talking about that has to be met with that particular.
Because there's a lot that goes into that, though. It's just not being the first as a track athlete or win the gold medal or the first baseball player or football or basketball. It's everything else that goes with it, right? There's a responsibility that also needs to be held, and they do that. They take care of business. As you heard Doug say about Jackie Robinson, it wasn't just about baseball. It's about everything else.
Right. Sticking because to sports was a 2020 term, but yeah. He was doing it well before it
Absolutely.
Was a thing.
Absolutely.
Right? All right, so we'll honor his memory today and tomorrow. Okay, on the way, it's something that's sweeping the nation. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe a little bit of an oversell there. It's not even really sweeping the studio because we got to make sure you're on board with us. It's call a roulette. Simple. I know you always ask us how we're doing. We're doing fine. We love it. We love your patronage. We appreciate you tuning in. We know you love the show, and we always love hearing it. But every time you say something like that, you're giving yourself less time to talk. So we're going to have you call us up, 888-SAY-ESPN. I'll give you a line number. You call, we pick up the phone, you're line one. Give us your name, give us where you're calling from, and then boom, hit us with something. Anything you want, draft talk, clowny talk, Jackie Robinson Day, Curry, Jokic, whatever. Hit us up, 888-SAY-ESPN. You'll get a line number, give us your name, your number, and you sound off. Next, and remember, don't mess it up.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Before I let you go, brought to you by Napa. Whether it's next day delivery or getting involved in their local communities, Napa goes above and beyond to serve you because their motor never quits. That's Napa know-how. Before we get to caller roulette, ton of pressure on the callers, big time pressure on the callers to come through here. I want to just reel off this story as Baylor continues to bask in the glow of its first men's national basketball championship. To the winner go the spoils. So the general manager of the Allen Samuels Auto Group dealership in Waco, Texas, where Baylor University is, said essentially, look, congratulations, Scott Drew, you won the championship. In honor of that, we're going to give you a customized Jeep We already gave the women's head coach Kim Mulkey. She runs a super successful women's program. We give her a Corvette, and we want to keep the tradition going, equal time for the men too. So we'll give you a Jeep. And then he said on live television with the local TV station in Waco, quote, Coach Scott can enjoy it, and he'll be able to pull people, some people, out of the hood. So essentially saying he can take that Jeep, go into the hood, and fill out his roster. As you might imagine, he pretty much realized what he said the second after he said it. And the story, as ugly as it is, has a good resolution because Baylor put out a statement with Coach Drew and his boss, athletic director Mac Rhodes, quote, this guy's remarks do not align with our institutional values or the culture of our athletic programs. We can confirm we are not accepting the Jeep driven in the parade on Tuesday. So some ugly comments there, followed up by some common sense ones.
Yeah, I wonder if the women's coach is giving her truck back too, because you know that he has these views. So I don't think anybody should ever, deal with that car group anyway. You know what I mean? So everybody should give it back. And it's always that undercurrent of racism and bias.
So let me – I know we got to get to roulette, but let me – okay, did he say it as in we're going to be impressed the fact that we're poor in the hood and somebody's coming in with a Jeep, so therefore we're supposed to go to this university?
You got the spinners
or is he saying that you can go and maybe get some players to get into the Jeep because it's a bigger car and you'll be able to come and take them on a recruiting trip?
You know what the hell he's saying.
I'm just trying
he's saying just like the pimps in the hood.
To help him. Nah, I'm just trying to.
Ain't no helping him, man.
Okay. All right.
Ain't no helping. He said what he said. He meant it exactly how we interpreted it.
Okay. I thought, though.
All the black players would think you're a cool coach, man. A white guy driving around with a pimped out ride, man. They're going to come to your school. It ain't my car.
Hey, man. All I can
give
do,
me one.
All I can do is chuckle and say, the world we live here, man. The thoughts on some people's minds, Zubin. What the hell is wrong with people out here?
But that's why I love social media. I love social media, and I love all the platforms in which people are allowed to speak because they can't hide their bias and racism, because eventually it's going to
spill
out.
We really, in the hood, really think that's small? Because I grew up in the hood in South L.A. So he really thinks that's small, like a Jeep is really going to persuade us to come to the university. First of all, are you giving the kids the Jeep? You just want to ride around the neighborhood and let them touch it? Just
pimp my ride. You know what I'm saying? It's like Mr. McDowell. You know, Hakeem, with 30, 40 hard years of work,
crazy.
Maybe one day you can have a house just like mine.
People are sick.
There was a championship parade on Tuesday to honor the team, and the Jeep was a part of, like, the flotilla that was in the parade. So that's close as Scott Drew's going to get to it.
But before we move on to roulette, good things, Zubin, for Baylor, the head coach and the university. Good that they realize that is not the direction that program and that university needed to go.
I want Mulkey to give her car back, too.
We're talking about this, though. Let them handle her. Okay. We're just going to stay right here.
Give it back.
So that's the deal. The comments were made, and Baylor coming back with some strong comments of their own. Just wanted
good
to make
for
sure
them,
you guys
man.
Got caught up to date on that. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and now it is the long-awaited Caller Roulette. Line 6.
This is Dustin calling from Columbus, Georgia. I want to tell you guys and everybody out there listening right now, do not sleep on Kyle Trask. He is the diamond pick in the whole draft. The guy stands tall. He's Drew Brees accurate, and he only had about 4 bad quarters all his senior season. Don't sleep on him. Line 6 out.
Not sleep on him, but I'm not taking him in the first round.
Exactly, but I can see him being with the Saints, though, as well. You know, you get him in the second round, third round, and you'll put him as a project behind. He's a big, strong quarterback, 6'3", 240, make all the throws. I mean, hey, you know, that's where you get value. You know, you can take a shot.
Love him. Great story. Barely started in high school, named after Kyle Field because his parents went to Texas A&M. Spin it. Line 3.
Marty from Los Angeles. I just want to know when you guys think Josh Rosen's going to get another shot.
Man, I don't know, man. He's in San Francisco right now, and they're about to draft a quarterback. Man, I feel so bad for this kid, man. He didn't play bad his first year in Arizona, and I feel like he's been bounced around, man. Listen, he got mail going all over the place, Key. You know what I mean? He still got mail. You can't forward your mail that many times. They're like, sir, listen, you just got to pick an address.
You know how it is, though. When they get on their bad side and they have –
And they make a narrative.
They make a narrative, and that's the way they think about you. It follows you all the way around.
Does he get a Super Bowl ring because he was on the practice squad for a while in Tampa? Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
Man.
As if the post office doesn't have enough problems.
He's on his 15, man.
It happens.
Spin the wheel. I'm gonna very smartly stay away from line five. Let's go line four.
Joe, Jupiter, Florida. I just want to say thank you again to the Atlanta Hawks organization back in 2018 for allowing us to acquire their pick and the next golden child in Luka. Luka Magic strikes again. Not only did he block Ja Morant a couple seconds before, but then pulled off another one of his daggers that solely won the game for us. He's amazing.
Yeah, he's going to need a lot more daggers if he want to get out that hated seven spot that him and Mark Cuban is talking about.
That's what I was about to say. I was like, wait a minute, though. You got to finish the deal.
Yeah, you're in seventh place.
One play. Here we go. Try one more and we'll get out of here.
Okay, all part of a 114-113 win for the Mavs last night. All right, it's going to stop on line three.
Or not.
Wait, end the show. Not enough O's and smooth, Zubin.
We almost had it.
Not.
We almost had it.
Killing me, Petey. You're killing me, Petey.
Blaming it on the callers. See you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.